When it comes to names that are the same, in most cases, they're kind of on your nose obvious. In others, they may not be. So adding something like a contraction is not going to change, an article or contraction is not going to change the name and make it unique. So if I, as I have here an example, Great Place LLC and A Great Place LLC, that's not going to be sufficient to make it distinct. And the same thing for adding an article like and in between. Repeating letters in names that sound the same is not going to make something distinct. And I personally have experienced some rejections tied to whether or not a number or symbol should or could be substituted for the phonetic sound of a word. At the end of the day, there is some subjectivity in these analyses. I think that the statute is pretty comprehensive, but on some level, if I paraphrase Justice Potter Stewart, I think when the SOS sees a conflict, they know it. If there is some similarity relating to, say, for example, one entity with a different filing type and a similar name. So say, for example, Smith PLLC versus Smith Corporation. Smith Corporation, if you're attempting to file Smith Corporation and Smith PLLC already exists, you could potentially ask Smith PLLC for consent. There are other similar rules for things like spelled words versus common abbreviations. So manufacturing is a common one. If you had Smith Manufacturing spelled out on file and you attempted to file Smith MFG, the Secretary of State's going to say, hey, you need to obtain consent from the existing entity. Sometimes it's less obvious. One of my clients, we had we had to obtain consent relating to Advanced Solar versus Advanced Solar and Electric. And that's why I say there's a little bit of subjectivity here. I think the Secretary looked at that and thought, well, electric and solar is close enough that we want you to obtain consent. Geographic names, Austin, Texas Framing is an example, would be distinct to, I'm sorry, if you had Austin, Texas Framing on file and somebody else wanted to file Austin Framing, they would need to obtain consent and vice versa. In my experience doing these filings over a number of years, your best bet really is to try to find something unique. The more ubiquitous things like city names, geography, landmarks, I mean, they tend to have a broad range of entities. In San Antonio, we have Alamo Everything, and I've never personally understood the benefit of having a name that everyone else has attached to your business. But if you really are tied to it, or your clients really tied to it, I personally think trying to obtain consent is impractical. And in my experience, you either end up with a complete lack of response or someone who is suspicious of what your intent is. And I'll talk a little bit more about when I think it's more common in my practice that we do seek consent. Did you have a question, Barbara?
I was just going to say that I heard a number of years ago, a while back, that don't even start going in to try and get a name that's a combination of any three initials. XYZ clearly is going to be taken, but any three letter combos, they've already all been taken. That's just a non-starter. So if your client gives you three letters and says, try the, B, C, D, LLC, you just know right off the bat, you can tell them, don't even bother.
That, and my favorite is when the client comes in and wants Star Enterprises. I mean, someone's done that already. If you are able to obtain consent, and let's be honest, most of the time this is because you have a client who has an existing business or business name that they love and they want to form another company with a similar name. I run into this as an example with dental practices that expand to other territories. You are going to have to file a consent. It doesn't have to have any particular format. It does need to be notarized. The only time it's implied is if you're doing a simultaneous filing. And really, I think the only time you would see that, aside from perhaps a divisional merger, would be if you have a general a limited partnership filing and you file the GP at the same time, the SOS will imply consent for the name. In the event that you are doing a search and you see that there's several potential conflicts, just keep in mind that the Secretary of State will actually require consent from the one that has the longest history or the one that's been on file longest. Once consent is granted, it can't be withdrawn. You know, keep in mind the Secretary of State has nothing to do with policing the terms on which the consent was given, and just make sure that you are submitting that consent at the same time when you do your filing. So you've gone through the steps of determining availability. What's your next step? In my opinion, go ahead and do your filing. I tend to feel that, you know, if you have achieved some clarity as to the availability of a name, then there's really no point in waiting if you're ready to go, just because, a conflict could appear in the next 2 days. You don't know. Name reservations, I do have people that ask for them from time to time in my practice. I don't know what the panel's experience with that is. I don't use them very often. You know, they are effective for temporarily holding a name, but in my practice, I usually only see that when there's some kind of contractual prohibition, wink, wink, preventing someone from moving forward with starting a new company. Lastly, and I think this goes without saying, but you know, even if you know that the name is available, don't move forward with other steps. You know, tell the client to hold on. Don't start entering contracts under that name. And I tell my clients, no, you know, we're not simultaneously asking for the tax ID. We're going to have to wait and make sure that we get that file stamp certificate back from the Secretary of State's office.